Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The hostage deal, the ceasefire deal, the negotiations that are taking place, it's incredibly one-sided. And you know, when I was thinking about this discussion that I'm about to have with Martin Sherman, who is the founder and CEO of the Israel Institute for Strategic Studies, whatever question I was considering asking, I realized the answer is, well, they're Hamas, they're a terror organization. So what do you expect? What does it even mean to be negotiating with a terror organization? We've seen what they've done. Do we really think they're going to not lie to us now? Do we really think that they're going to honor any form of a deal? So then how do you go into this type of negotiation? Martin Sherman, good morning. Thank you for joining us. But this is I can't get my head around how this plays out. Help me through that.
Well, you know, I'm not sure I can be in much help with that, because I sort of feel the same sort of frustration and bewilderment that you do. I've been saying for quite some time now, I think that the hostages should be released by all means possible, on one condition, that those means are coercive and not consensual.
Right.
I don't think that there's a lot of logic in the deals that have been made up until now, and the ones that seem to be brewing at the moment. You know, one of the questions that is never really raised in the public debate is the following. All these deals are accompanied by large-scale releases of convicted terrorists with blood on their hands. And experience shows that released terrorists, at least part of them, always go back and commit further acts of terrorism. So the question is, why is the fate of the current hostages more important than the lives of future victims who will be the victims of future terrorists? You know, that's another thing that's, as you said, hard to get your head around. I also don't understand why future victims are less important than the current victims, simply because the current victims have a face. But we know from the Shalit deal that the release, I don't know if your listeners know, Gilad Shalit was an abducted soldier who was released for in exchange for letting go a large number of convicted terrorists. And those convicted terrorists committed acts of terror which resulted in the death of other Israelis. Now, of course, at the time, you know, there was huge public sympathy for Shalit when he was in captivity. But the moment he was released, public opinion switched and said, you know, how could we have done that? Which I think shows a lot of the hypocrisy of the Israeli opposition. But I certainly agree with your bewilderment,
right?
Which you raised at the beginning of the interview.
To add to this, whilst all of this is happening, whilst these negotiations are going on, Hamas has indicated a very deliberate strategy to kidnap Israeli soldiers. We saw an attempted kidnapping this week. We saw Hamas proudly talking about it, lauding it, and encouraging it, which means that this is continuing in a very deliberate way. How do we reconcile those aspects?
I agree with you by this hypersensitivity to the fate of hostages. You're basically inviting future hostages. I mean, if you were Hamas and you saw how Israel responded to hostages, what would you do? It's only logical that they will increase their efforts to try and abduct more hostages. This is, in my opinion, a very short-sighted attitude that the Israeli government is has adopted. I mean, it's easy to talk, and it's really heart wrenching,
of course,
to hear of what's happening to the hostages. But as I said before on your station, running a country is a strategic exercise, not a humanitarian exercise. And you know, you can think of all sorts of humanitarian situations which would not be counseled in any way. But you know, the government is responsible for the fate of the nation as a whole, and not just for a few dozen hostages. You know, I don't want to sound too callous.
I get the. That's exactly the dilemma. Isn't it a concern, though, that in inverted commas, abandoning the hostages would send a message to the people, to the nation, that we don't care that much about the individuals, and especially exacerbated by the fact that October the 7th was a significant government failure that would just add insults to already a difficult situation. What's your thought on that?
Well, I think the 7th of October was far more a military and an intelligence failure than a government failure. Although I've been a strong critic of the attitude towards Gaza for decades. You know, I'm a strong supporter of the Trump plan of population removal. I don't think there's any other solution to that. But I think the Israeli government must express concern and must concentrate massive efforts on releasing the hostages, but those must be coercive. Again, you know, I'm sure that with the Biden administration, that was much more difficult than it is with the Trump administration. But then again, you know, I think Israel has been very remiss in presenting its case in the United States, because there's a huge majority of the public who support Israel compared to the Palestinians. At one stage, something like 4-1. And that's never really been levered by the Israeli government. It should be political death for any politician in America who doesn't support Israel, given the configuration of public opinion. And that's never been levered as part of policy. So I think things could have played out completely differently if Israel had played its cards differently. You know, I'm not one of the fiercest critics of Bibi Netanyahu, but I think in this place, there's certainly been a failure of policy.
One of our listeners, Mark, says, why doesn't Israel have the death penalty for these terrorists? Dead terrorists can't murder again.
Well, the truth of the matter is, in the Israeli legislation, there is place for a death penalty. It's just never been activated. The consideration of that, I mean, the only time it's ever been implemented was with Adolf Eichmann, the arch-Nazi. But actually, Israel has the possibility of implementing the death penalty. It's never been done. The argument was that if they did that to Palestinian prisoners, the Palestinians would do that to Israeli prisoners. Which I think is a little bit of false logic.
Right,
I mean, you know, because
it doesn't. And in truth, they're doing it anyway.
The Palestinians see live hostages as a huge lever for concessions.
Yep, we do need to leave it there. Very perplexing, but an important conversation, even if it's a difficult one, that we do need to have. Martin Sherman is the founder and CEO of the Israel Institute for Strategic Studies. He's a former lecturer at Tel Aviv University, and he was in there for 7 years. He was an operational capacity in Israeli intelligence.